appreciate the opportunity to cover this research today. The following personal financial relationships of commercial interest relevant to the presentation existed during the past 12 months. I'm employed as senior biostatistician at LA Care Health Plan, the local initiative health authority of the Los Angeles County, California. LA Care is a public entity competing with commercial insurers in the Medicaid and SCHIP markets in LA County. Quickly an outline, this is what I'll cover in the briefing. The learning objectives mainly emphasize describing rates of unnecessary use of ER among Medicaid members, then describing patients' reasons leading to that unnecessary use, identifying systemic reasons contributing to unnecessary ER use, and then the relative frequency of personal choice versus barriers to access that led to the ER use, discuss the degree of health literacy exhibited by members in describing the circumstances where they believe the ER use was justified, analyzing improper ER use broken down by demographics toward the design and targeting of health education programs, and then describe whether or not there's an association between improper ER use, its causes, and the ratings members give health plans. Sort of these learning objectives cover my reasons for adding questions to surveys to cover why members go to ER when perhaps they could go to primary care. And the purpose being, we have surveys we do annually. Often they sit on the shelf, and my goal has been to try to do ancillary analysis and add questions that can be used by different departments. So I'm seeking touch points within the health plan that can touch members and providers. And so it's something that I can take from the survey in a descriptive way to an immediate use somewhere else in the health plan that will touch a member or provider. So that's the main goal of this. You'll notice from a health services research perspective, there are loose ends here that need to be analyzed further, but I don't usually go to that step unless I have a client who's able to take something and use that if I do multivariate analysis. So some parts of this may frustrate you a little bit, but the goal of this was to take things to immediate use. A little background, we're mostly Medicaid, urban, two-thirds pediatric, often Spanish-speaking population. We're mostly urban, but in the upper desert, high mountain desert, we have something approaching rural health delivery. This population is changing quite a bit with the 1115 waiver that California got from CMS to put fee-for-service seniors and people living with disabilities into managed care. So we're going to have two populations at the end of 2013. So we're mostly moms and kids, and then a disabled population coming in, which is primarily adults. So it's causing changes throughout the health plan. And ER is one of the markers I want to track. Information a person would typically want for understanding ER utilization. First, how big is the problem, and what percent of total ER visits is a huge problem? I know that in cost-conscious environments, there's been a tendency in the press to say, oh, there are people misusing the ER for primary care, and that's a place we can cut and save a lot of money. So one of the opening questions is, how frequent is unnecessary use? So I'm focused on the middle portion of this, the part I've put in blue. What are the causes? Because that will drive what the solutions are. Is it barriers to access, so that the ER was the only place the member could go with the condition they had at the moment? Is it patients' lack of information about urgency and alternate choices? Are there externalities in patients' choices or provider systems? So which of these causes is dominant would tell you what kind of solution to try to put in place. So defining and measuring the problem, a little bit on the literature. There's a recent publication by Somers et al. In which they looked at triage data, meaning what condition did the member come in with and how serious was it into the ER, versus what's typically out in the public realm is discharge data, which tended to say, gee, the person didn't really need to go to the ER. So those tended to estimate a higher rate of unnecessary ER use. Whereas Somers and colleagues found about 9.9% of ER visits by non-elderly Medicaid members were not necessarily urgent, versus 6.8% among the similar population in commercially insured patients. So it looks like Medicaid members tend to use a little more than commercial patients in terms of things that they didn't really need to go to the ER for. But the numbers there, 9.9, 6.8, neither is a very large number in terms of the total proportion of ER visits. So it's not the dramatic cost savings that some in the public realm may be saying it is. So it kind of tells us which part of the world we're in, not a large percent. So we're looking for cost savings on on a subset of the ER visits. So along either path, there's a noticeable subset that we can maybe reduce costs on and help by member education or by provider education. Some of the pathways and models, again, there's the member-driven approach. Was it due to convenience? The ER was just easier to go to. Was it due to health literacy? The member did not know what constitutes an emergency the ER is appropriate for. Or was it ignorance of options, that there were alternates like urgent care? Were they aware that those existed? Or did the provider network not make them aware of the options? So the other possible cause to approach this by is the provider or system-driven method is if the medical group, for example, in a contract pays for urgent care, and the health plan pays for ER, is the medical group really incentivized to tell the member there's an urgent care facility which costs much less than the ER because the health plan is paying? So there's a principal-agent problem there potentially. So any of these things on the slide could be the cause, and all of them could be a cause of some part of unnecessary use. So where do you focus? The design of the study, a lot more words on the slide than I'm going to say, so I'm going to walk through this quickly. The upload will contain this information as to how the study was done. I piggybacked the ER questions on top of a survey we were doing anyway, which is called the Patient Assessment Survey, to analyze how medical groups are serving their patients. So it turned out to be a very large sample and had a little room at the end where I put some ER questions, and the analysis has to do with the reasons members gave for going to the ER. The deployment of this slide will talk about how many provider groups we surveyed and so forth and when the survey was in the field. The nature of the data, the main talking point there of interest in this research is that the results, this is unweighted data, so each provider group had a sample and I just pooled them together, so it really represents what the typical patient in the typical provider group was responding. Later on I'll do weighted analysis that's more representative of the population. So this is designed, the findings in the next slides are designed to feed back to provider groups to tell them, so we can do interventions at the provider group level. And there's another layer of analysis that would be useful at the health plan level if we can't get the results we want through the provider group approach. The response rates for our population, pretty typically around 30%, a little below. For our largest population, which was children, going PAS, Patient Assessment Survey, is a visit-oriented survey. So it looks at their most recent visit within the last 12 months to see how did they rate the provider. So this is the nature of the sampling. I had to piggyback the ER questions on top of. So our largest population was responding about 41%, but typically about 30% is all we get from this population. The first ER-related question we tossed in, okay, what's a condition that probably should not be seen in the ER? And so it was a sore throat. Where do you go for a sore throat? So the green marks when they where they should have gone with a sore throat, and the red marks where they should probably not be going, which is the ER. So it indicates a small, very small percent of members were answering that they'd go to the ER for a sore throat. And so the typical response was they go to the doctor's clinic. And this is self-reported data, so what their actual practices are, we don't know. But at least most members seem to know not to go to the ER. Unfortunately, the nurse advice line, which is another route for getting guided toward the appropriate source of care and sometimes even an expedited appointment with their primary care physician, wasn't very well used. I'll bring that finding in a little later. But the main point here is that not too many members were answering incorrect about going to the ER for a sore throat. Next question had to do with when you had a not counting when you had a serious injury, did you go to the ER for any of the following reasons? And the reasons here have to do with barriers to access. So we're trying to assess how often are they going because there was a barrier that they did not know of any alternative. In this case, nurse advice line to advise them there's an urgent care facility. So urgent care and nurse advice line are the alternatives here, which would have kept a person from the ER and routed them to primary care for certain conditions. So if they had an emergency condition, we don't mind them going to the ER at all. That's where they belong. But did they know about alternatives? And so this assesses to the extent to which they didn't. And it's about one-fifth of the cases that they didn't know about alternatives. And so that says something about getting information out there, either through the provider or through our member communications. So next question had to do with how often did they go to the ER? And a lot of them did. Strikes me as a bit high proportion for the last 12 months. And in each case, this was asked if there was a child version of the survey that was filled out by the parent, and then there's an adult version of the survey. So a large number of these people went to the ER during the last year. In the last 12 months, how many times did you or your child go to the ER for treatment? Again, most were in low numbers, but there were some what the literature sometimes calls frequent flyers that went quite often. Maybe legitimate reasons or legitimate uses of the ER, but still that's where the costs or the intervention would focus, is on people who are using the ER quite regularly. Next question that dealt with the ER was, did the person get a follow-up visit with their PCP or their specialist after an ER visit? Now, if it's an emergency like fell, broke a bone, it's not necessarily something that would be preventable in the future. But if it's something like asthma, they went in with an asthma attack, perhaps the medication needs adjusting. So a follow-up visit would be a good idea. And so this was bimodal. Many said they always had a follow-up visit, which is a good thing. But many said, still about a fourth said they never had a follow-up visit. So this illustrates that there are some who may need a follow-up visit to get medications adjusted, et cetera. And obviously, this needs to be broken out by what did they go in for, which we wouldn't know from the member survey. But at least it leads me into other avenues to talk to the people using these results. What more do they want to see analyzed before they would know how to take the findings and use them for an intervention? Next question had to do with, in the last 12 months, did you go for any of the following reasons? These, again, are getting at access issues. The appointment's too far in the future, which starts sounding like a reason of personal choice, intrinsic reasons for going in versus extrinsic reasons, where nobody answered the phone when they tried to get an appointment. There didn't seem any other source of care. So we were trying to assess here, how often were they blocked from normal access to normal primary care and therefore ended up at the ER? So, again, it's not majority numbers, but other was the interesting thing here as well, that items I did not guess to build into the question. So obviously I wanted to analyze the other responses to find out what am I missing in the question as to reasons people go to the ER. I'll show in a minute a CDC slide that got into the same sorts of issues. And here it is. 66% in the survey, NHIS, 2011 results analyzed here by Gindy and Cohen, 66% of the time the member mentioned something to do with the seriousness of the medical problem was what took them to the ER. But about 79.7% of the time, I should have had a dark black line above the blue, 79.7%, it summarizes the items below it. 79%, 80% of the time, they mentioned lack of access to other providers. So it appears to be there is evidence there of an access problem, and we found that in our own survey, that it's a mixed bag. Sometimes it's personal reasons, sometimes it's lack of access to any to the primary care physician, so they went to the ER. Final question, is this a patient education issue? So I'm, in each question, trying to get something that's usable to a department at the health plan that they could take and turn into an action. And in this case, it's member education. The items marked in red are items you would typically not go to the ER for. And the items marked in green are items you would typically go to the ER for. So this tells two stories. One is a sizable number of people would go to the ER for the wrong reason. So this says something about whether they have actually gone for those reasons or not. There's a patient education problem. So we can use this finding to determine our messaging to members. The green area actually has a negative side to it. If a person has chest pain, there is a sizable percent, 100 minus the number in green, says the percent of members who would say they would not go to the ER if they had chest pain. And that would worry me. you'd want them to go to the ER then. So there are two messages here, not that, oh, these people are misusing the ER, the one from the results in red. The results in green would say there's a large number of people who aren't sure when they should go, when they really should go to the ER. So there are two sides to the education problem. So I find this very interesting. In terms of actionability, and here's the payoff for me, is can I take these findings, put them in front of one of the departments of the health plan that owns a touch point to a provider or to a member, and can they use these findings? And it turned out had an odd ally in this case, that the departments I would typically approach with the finding were often busy, wrapped up in their own programs, and so the ally here turned out to be marketing and communications, who run the member newsletter and the provider newsletter, so they have an immediate outlet to use this, and so they're planning a quiz in which the member answers and scores themselves. How well did they do in terms of their ER utilization knowledge? So we'll see where that goes, if we get inquiries back from members for information. Also in the provider newsletter, so there's discussion of an article based on these results to get the information in front of providers as to educating their members about other options such as urgent care. And so we found five immediate uses to the questions on the survey, which I was thankful for. Descriptive information can turn to immediate use instead of them waiting for or having to specify a detailed analytic. They can use the findings immediately in an article. Second part of actionability was this tie to marketing and communications came from an odd set of meetings. The finance department is, of course, interested in where are our costs going and is there a way to reduce costs of ER use. And so the finance department, of course, was interested in cost savings, but put together a set of meetings from the medical and clinical side of the health plan, getting people in the room who weren't necessarily used to talking to each other about ER use. And from that emerged some insights on here's where we could intervene that's a win-win for the member. Sometimes our ERs are quite crowded and the waits can be lengthy there as well, so it's not necessarily good for the member to be going there. Better going to primary care and find out what's the problem, why isn't the member able to get a timely visit to primary care. And so the finance department put together these meetings, and I found that as a forum where I could deliver these findings and connect up to somebody willing to use them, which turned out to be marketing and communications. So I'll go to any forum I can get to insert survey findings, which is basically the member's voice. So I was intrigued at my allies here, strange bedfellows. The finance department gets me to marketing communications. From plans, we can perhaps interest the clinical department in, okay, here's what marketing did with this. Can you come up with an intervention based on member education, provider education? Finally, a quick recap of the learning objectives. So what are the rates? The recent literature suggests caution in drawing conclusions from any of the data, that it's hard to tell whether a given visit was legitimate or not, but it's better to look at both triage findings, where something seems serious, may not look serious by the time the person is discharged, but you have to react to the triage finding before you can tell whether it was an emergency or not. So I thought that was a good caution in the literature. And the survey that I did, even though it's member self-reported information, not medical records, It tends to indicate that the literature is headed in the right direction. This overuse of the ER in Medicaid is not as huge a problem as sometimes is reported in the press, but there is a subset of visits where cost savings could occur and where member education could be beneficial. The second learning objective, describe patients' reasons leading to unnecessary ER use. A subset, misidentify issues warranting ER use, but another subset should go when they don't think they would need to go. So there's a double-edged reason to do more patient education on this issue. Systemic reasons. Some patients lack information about ER alternatives that exist that are cheaper than ER and more convenient for the patient. So getting the information out and getting the provider groups to advertise what's available, even if it isn't in their financial interest, that's good. And so some patients, there are noticeable numbers who note clinic wait times are a reason for ER use, so there are other interventions we should do. And then parents appear more prone to misuse ER for their children than adults do for themselves. So demographically, that's where our focus would be on the parents of children to help them get to the primary care. And false positives were common. False negatives were also common as an education issue. I have work yet to do on whether there's an association to health plan ratings, and you might think, why? Because that interests management. If I can give a tie-in to something bottom line that they care about, I can get them interested in having the departments pursue these findings to intervene with members and providers. Thanks for your time.
Perfect timing. Thank you very much.